So the overall project, if we combine both of them, would be a realignment and a new intersection, and also a complete rehab and some realignment of curves. Actually, David and I and Mr. Stark spent last year sometime in regards to a major section by the golf course where we had discussed moving the road itself and abandoning a portion of the quarter-mile road or half-mile road, making a better alignment, getting rid of the curve, and the College of the Ozarks property there. We discussed some. So there's a bunch of possibilities out there, but overall, preserving a high number of population, I think this is a valid project.
Which direction there is the easiest to get easements?
The one there to the north is probably the least painful.
Least painful or less expensive?
Yes.
What about grade here, David and Frank? On here, we're going to.
Okay.
You can make that grade there.
How far from the existing one is the, are those apart?
Those little dots are 100 feet.
That would put that right about in front of the church?
1,700 feet, yeah.
Okay. And the cost comparison estimate? Any ballpark figure?
It's over $1 million.
Either way.
For the intersection, and then we've discussed
the rest of the road,
we've discussed being in the $4 to $6 million range, and those are really preliminary numbers.
And I've had conversation with College of the Ozarks about the hairpin turn down past by Lily's Landings corner, about realigning that. So they've talked about land swapping and stuff like that. So there's, it helps them if we move the road.
Which side of the road did they get property?
Both.
Okay.
So their conditions basically were, if we did something like that, they would want us to tear out the asphalt existing road, fill it in, so they could have one big lot of pasture.
Well,
basically a country bluff. If you look at the high lines, it goes straight along Fall Creek and goes straight, and that's the concept of the road. We just follow that line of high lines if we are going to do the whole project. Okay, so we're broadcasting on the internet. I had enough text messages saying, please broadcast, so.
Can this be done in phase
two? That's why I have it broken up into sections right now. One of the projects being the intersection itself, and the second project being the full length of Fall Creek that's coming at this point in time.
So what would is your estimated cost on the entire project, Brian? Including the intersection?
Probably.
Six million.
Those are really preliminary. We haven't done any preliminary engineering or anything like that, but those numbers have been thrown around for quite some time.
But the intersection itself would be a million.
Engineers?
Intersection improvements?
You can get that close real quick with the rock and stuff that you have with, kind of getting for site distance and things like that. Putting left turn days in.
Have you done any prelim on the access right-of-way acquisition?
I haven't. There may have been done some at this time that this drawing was done, but that's pretty old in and of itself, I believe.
Yeah.
It's
95.
Frank, would there be any problems with MoDOT coming down to 165?
No, I think we just have to check the site distance, which I'm assuming we're done with this one.
Site distance is much better at that alignment.
Couldn't be much worse.
No.
Probably. I should be thinking about stabilization, so if that's going to be necessary with the increased traffic now.
What are your triggers for signalization? You have traffic numbers?
Numbers and crashes. And the numbers kind of depend on where the traffic's turning, so you just have to have an analysis of that. Everyone's looked at that or not.
And turning lanes? No problem there?
I think you want turning lanes there.
Okay.
Pretty much any train traffic in this area.
Rick, the 30-second summary of what you missed while you were here. We introduced everybody. We've got the list of what the Tiger II grant possible applications are. We're going through it just to see if the commission agrees. And then there is a railroad of a vote to make me chairman.
I'm sorry I was not here, but I'm glad I wasn't the chairman.
That train sounded its horn when he went through.
It was about 10 o'clock last night.
So Frank's is going down, and we're talking about Fall Creek Bridge.
Okay. Any questions on Fall Creek? Everybody has a basic understanding of what that is? Number two, Highway 160 and 176 Rockaway Beach turnoff. There has been some plans. Somebody's been working with Foresight with regards to Highway 160 improvements. Are the limits of that project just within the city limits of Foresight? To relaying Foresight?
No, what we actually did was try that. We knew that MoDOT was interested in doing CAP and 160, so what we said, we looked at the whole section there so that as we were looking at an opportunity to maybe approach MoDOT for some future 50-50 map on that. And so what we did, we took that in, included not only that, but 176 there to turn off that goes down to Rockaway Beach, too. So
okay.
Those two intersections were included in that analysis we've done for the city portion.
Okay. So as a county as a whole, we know that as the traveling public travels this area, the high accident rates and severe congestion, and there's been talk of a roundabout at each one of these locations. So these two projects, number two and three, Highway 160 at Rockaway Beach turnoff and at F, those locations are slated for improvements by means of a roundabout, and that's been discussed in various groups and forums throughout.
Well, that's okay with that concept.
Mm-hmm. We're actually looking at 116F now, and another idea we've had is to change the stop conditions so that you don't, we would actually reroute 160 down F now and sort of switch them, and think that might be a really cheap way to kind of address most of the issue there.
Huh.
So, and actually, if you all have thoughts on that, let us know.
I
wouldn't say it's out completely, but it's one thing that we're looking at is could we, it's so much cheaper just to kind of change the stop signs and striping that if you address, you know, 80 or 90% of the issue for such a reduced cost, does that make sense? So we'd like some input on that. It's not gone, but that's one of the things we're looking at, though.
Your expense for doing that versus a roundabout there and leaving it the way it is and put a roundabout in, what's the comparison there?
Around that should be like $800,000 or $900,000, I'd say, and change stuff to just all this $100,000 maybe.
Really?
So you're talking about F a through road and 160 right. Stopping at that location.
Yeah.
Maybe changing an island or
right.
Version
right.
Of that.
Now, are you taking into consideration this 176 junction?
That's
right around the corner from it?
Yeah, I'm not on the team looking at that, but I'm sure looking at that whole area too there.
Okay. Frank, one of the things, if you did 160, you took that around there, F would become 160, so it would have more of a curve in it with what existing 160 coming from 65 would come in and stop, so it would be more like a T intersection there
yes.
For people coming in from the north.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have any backing up to 176, so it would just kind of flow
yes.
Through. And that's the heavy movement today. There's about 7,000, almost 8,000 on F and 10,000 on 160, so you know it's going F to go over to the Branson in that area.
So you're going to have to educate people to stop on 160 as you're coming in to Foresight then.
Yeah. But well, they'll do some geometric work there that'll make it more obvious to them that is a stop. Okay.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of red work with it.
Yeah. That's a lot of fender benders there right now, as it is. Rear enders, I should say.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear that because that's one of the reasons that I believe this group was formed, to, so that regionally we could talk about what's on each other's minds. And then if you have interest in improving that intersections, whether it be geometry or signalization or roundabout, whatever, we have interest in it because it serves our citizens. And then that 20-80 cost share or 50-50, whatever it is, that's how projects get done. So. Appreciate the fact that you're here. So the next intersection would be the Rockaway Beach turnoff. And from a MoDOT perspective, do you have anything in the plans or works? Or?
No.
Okay.
How soon would the county go down through there with sewer? Is that in the matrix?
No. The only thing I can think of right off is Merriam Woods. There's a property just west of there that was going to be developed, and they were annexed. I think they did annex into Merriam Woods, so it could come under the highway there and hook in. But as far as the county, unless I'm forgetting something, I don't think county's got any plans out in that area.
Okay.
Like it's on the matrix.
Number four, Highway 76 and Highway J. This would be the beginning of the east-west corridor. I meant to bring a big map of what the east-west corridor looked like.
You're going to get that, the big one upstairs.
If we're going to talk about the east-west corridor as a sidebar.
Big maps.
This would be a realignment of the intersection and basically building out a large intersection in anticipation of the east-west corridor being a viable project and moving forward with the east-west corridor. As one of my favorite people on the table keeps talking about, if you build things in little pieces at a time, that being Rich Ziegenfuss, you build it a little bit at a time and you connect the dots, ultimately you have a complete project. And so that's why that is in here as a little piece. Maple Street and East-West Corridor is the one we talked about earlier. That would be the terminus or the end of the East-West Corridor. And because that property is for sale and it's not selling and they're in serious discussions with, or are about to be, I've talked to them several times and there's, like Jim said, there is a meeting upcoming to talk about that project and that property. So both of those two are really preliminary in hopes and anticipation that the east-west corridor will someday become a reality. We've talked about Fall Creek. Number seven, Coon Creek. Coon Creek Road is sort of a bypass for travelers of Taney County. It allows people to get into the Hollister area without going down Mount Branson, which at certain times of the day is probably level of service F. At peak hours, morning and night, bumper-to-bumper traffic, because there's not a third lane going down Mount Branson, if you get behind a delivery truck or someone wanting to make a turn, it's a virtual standstill for quite some time. So at Coon Creek, it's a 1.1-mile road section. What we're anticipating there is, again, and there has been some preliminary work done there, horizontal and vertical improvements, straightening out some of the curves, widening the road, and at the low spot, there is a low spot, there's a low water crossing on Coon Creek right now. There are certain days throughout a year, I believe it's about 6 or 8 days historically throughout the year, where one cannot cross because of high water conditions. So there would be a structure involved in making that an all-weather road.
Should we leave number seven on and concentrate more on these
two? If we submit all seven, does it compete against each other? Is there harm in submitting seven? Does MoDOT or wherever the target people are rate them, and it doesn't matter that we've got seven of them?
No, there would be no application. Or you could say, we want to do these seven improvements. This is our rural plan, and we're requesting only money to do these three. It's up to you, and depending on the scope of what you want to ask for. But you should also be prepared that in Tiger One, some applications only got partial funding or they got a loan guarantee, especially on the roadway projects.
But they would notify us, and then we decide whether we want to turn it down because it's not enough.
Yeah. In a case like that, when it's been turned down, where does that money go?
I don't know. I don't know what with the Bella Vista bypass, they were one that I think it's like a $150 million project. I think they got $10 million or something like that. And then like a loan guarantee for some of the rest. And so we assumed that Arkansas would turn that down. In Missouri, it was kind of in that application too, because we said, well, we could fund our piece and then Tiger funds the Arkansas piece. And I don't know if they've officially turned that down yet. And if so, what happens with that money?
Frank, on the Coon Creek Road, due to the bridge construction, what was the traffic increase due to that construction and bypassing that area?
Probably 400 to 600 cars a day.
So we're still looking at 18,000 cars. You're saying 19 here.
Let's see here. I think I'm talking about Mount Branson being the 19,000.
Route
76. Coon Creek typically was 2,200, 2,400, and now we're running about 3,000, 3,200 on Coon Creek.
Okay.
But its geometry and alignments are not, even for that amount of traffic, really, it's not.
So at the intersecting point, we'd be looking at 19,000 on towards 4 sides, are you saying a day? I'm trying to coordinate the figures here.
Well, you got to take into consideration T Highway.
That's true.
Buddy, now that you brought up T Highway, it was on the MoDOT's matrix as high as number 4. Not to have it on there with SimCog, that's what we pronounce, but not to have it on there with the recommendation from Southwest Missouri in our 7 deals, or if it could be number 8 or whatever to our deal, but I think that would be something that we would want to stress is the T-Highway intersection. We have a 3-lane up through there, and we had a discussion earlier about areas that need stress relief. As you go off Seven Falls Hill, there by Quick Mart and Fast Trip and or whatever it is there. And anyway, the road I seen the other day, MoDOT had been in there and put a lot of big chunk rock where it's kind of undermining off of that bluff there. There's a, you know, a possibility that road might be 3-lane or something from the new bridge area, at least out to T Highway. And it would pertain to like a box culverting situation up the hill till you got to the top, or generally to the top up there, but Quick Mart, and then 3-lane on through there. I don't know what MoDOT's going to do about the undermining that road's causing there now, other than you see they're addressing it. So I don't know whether you would want to put something like that, which is that's a state project, but whether that's of importance to be of great importance to the 17,000 to 19,000 cars that's going down through there. Whenever that water's coming down that ditch line so heavy that it's going out to the edge of the road and undermining it. So I just thought I'd bring that up because of the T Highway situation.
And if that was done, I guess it would lessen the priority of Coon Creek Road, because
that's exactly where I was going with that. Coon Creek Road has been a blessing with what it provides and has provided during this relief from the bridge construction and all that, and they've done a great job with that, I think. But that would lessen the need for the Coon Creek project if the other project was 3-lane out as far as Cross Creek deal, because it's 3-lane around Cross Creek to T Highway intersection, and to eliminate the T Highway deal after the state has already, or you guys have already rated it in the top 4 in the region, then I think that we would kind of be cutting our own throats. So that I didn't want to have that much input, but I thought it should be brought in to the conversation.
Also, to my input on the Coon Creek Road improvements, Coon Creek Road is only a segment there. We have to contend with BB Highway once you get in there. And then we have the St. James Street intersection, we have the BB Highway intersection with Business 65, so even if we make significant improvements to Coon Creek Road, it's just going to pass that on down to the next issue. So at this point in time, if we can use alternate routes in Coon Creek, whether it's Highway 76, whether it's improvements to the border road, eventually, I think Coon Creek Road improvements that are done today serve us well, but I wouldn't recommend that we continue to improve Coon Creek Road past where it's at now.
I would agree with that. If I could throw in how and why this list was created, about a week or 3 to 5 days before I actually typed the list up, I was asked to come up with some projects, things that have been talked about, things that have what have I thought about, what have people told you? And so this is by no means a concise list of projects, and there's probably others out there, but I'm glad that Danny spoke up, because T-Highway in and of itself, if we could make improvements in that intersection, that would be a significant increase in safety to the traveling public. But to continue on that project, as Danny spoke about, that to me is more of a viable project, that, as you stated, than Kunkri. So this list by no means was a final list. It was something to start conversation, get us moving in some type of direction. So let's cross out Kunkri.
I'm just listening to everybody's talk. Charles, Brian, do you have any thoughts? I mean, it's kind of sound like once it spoke up, saying eliminate Coon Creek and kind of go with T, or maybe even T all the way to the bridge.
I agree with eliminating Coon Creek. I think what he said is exactly right. I travel it quite a bit, but, you know, it wouldn't be where I would go if we had other options.
Well, isn't the new east-west corridor more or less parallel to Coon Creek?
Right.
So there wouldn't be much. I don't see much use in improving it.
Substitute, switch out, take off the Coon Creek and add the T Highway intersection for sure. I just don't know about from T Highway to bridge if that's too big a project. I think it's a multi-million dollar to me.
Frank, do you know as it ranks in the higher portions of MoDOT's listing, do you know what the project description is?
It's the intersection.
The intersection.
That one seems for sure a good idea. Saying no.
Well, if we do it in phases, like we're needing to do, I think that the phase one would be, the first thing would be that intersection.
And Danny said MoDOT's working on the three lane out of the 76 anyway.
I think that's something MoDOT has to look at, because they're going to have to do something with that ditch sooner or later, and it might as well be boxed under and made use of.
And yeah, we're not looking at anything on there right now, but you should just say in terms of being a long-term need, we need to be looking at that.
And Frank, not to address that, if Coon Creek, if the water gets high enough that it damages or undermines that ditch down Mount Branson, it's going to take out Coon Creek Bridge again. That leaves the total public going to Arkansas to get to Branson, or coming all the way back around Forsyth to go with the new route that we have, because those are the only places to get into to the Branson-Hollister area. So that MoDOT looks at that undermining there, which I've got out and looked at it myself from the driveway halfway down the hill. They are going to be actually forced to do something there, and you can see that they've already the attention's already been drawn, because they put some big shot rock in there along that edge to try to get it back under. But a big rain, which we were which took the top off of Coon Creek last year, which totally took the top off of that bridge, could possibly undermine that situation going down 76. It's where I'm going with what I'm talking about. And so very, very interesting that if we had that kind of event, that we would be in desperate need to improve the 76, that it would be forced upon them instead of worked out through this situation.
Well, 76 and T intersection is one of our top five priorities with MoDOT.
Did I understand you correctly in that you have nothing in mind for why you're 76?
We're not scoping in here now. We're not doing any active work on it. All the roads are kind of on the list as getting improvement, but in terms of what we're actually trying to look at and do some engineering on, that's not one of those we're looking at right now.
Out of curiosity, how bad is 76 and Lakeshore Drive intersection?
That one, I think, is on our list also. I don't know what it's ranking. Cameron's ranking on it. Yeah.
At least the turn lane there would help.
We have some engineering. Great River has done some engineering for us or for private people there on a potential improvement or solution with the controlled intersection there. So we do have the modeling on all of that. That exists. So if we need to look at some of that stuff, MoDOT is aware of that. They've actually seen that modeling, but at this point, that was dependent on some money, and I guess all of this is dependent on some money. So anyway, that's the issue. But know that there is some preliminary engineering and some modeling done on that intersection for some storage lanes and other issues to help that area.
Are you thinking maybe have that on the list? It's kind of like the East-West Corridor. We start on little pieces of 76 and work towards the middle.
I don't know. I was just wondering how bad an intersection that was, really.
We have our list ranked high, medium, low, and Lake Shore and 76 is a high, as well as 76 and T and 116F. And also 165 from 76 to 265.
That would be nice.
And then 76 from Lake Sunrise and West.
And the comments I'm getting, I think it's going to be one of the priorities that come out on my district's list because it comes up a lot, too.
The state, you had a traffic count, you said 19,000 up Fall Creek, or Mount Branson, that correct?
I believe so. The bridge is what, 20, 21?
21 was the last one we did, but that included all the movements on the bridge. So I would be surprised if it was 19,000 on the hill. I think that's probably a little past it, but I'm certain. You know, on that, correct me if I'm wrong, but on that design road, 7,000 is starting to be a problem, and it well exceeds that, no matter what we
well, I understand
that, our turning movement shows.
But 7,000 is 19, I just want, yeah, sure we got traffic count on it.
10,000 is
one. It's a high traffic count for a road that size.
Yeah, but what, you know what it is?
Well, I mean, I have a 2008 count that, I don't have one right there in Mount Branson, right there near the intersection with Business 65, though, where the roundabout's going in, it was about 18,000.
So that was all the movements right at the roundabout.
And this is just 76 on the east or north side of where the roundabout's going.
Okay. And maybe, I mean, there's that would only, the only thing that would be pulled off of that is Lakeshore Drive, and Lakeshore Drive is running 1,800 on the Kennecott. Congestion and past that is much smaller. It's down 400.
I'm working with our GIS department to manipulate all of our traffic count data and accident area data. It's not quite the way I like it for discussion purposes right now, but that should be available to us by our next meeting.
Which is July 22nd, by the way.
I will make it to so Vice Chairman Buddy will have to. So, should we make a motion to direct county to proceed with submitting a Tiger II grant for these seven items with concrete swapped out for T Highway at 76?
Not for a comment.
Yeah.
I've said in two webinars about Tiger II with the Federal Highway people and what they're looking for, and they have this. They'll say, okay, you're eligible to do this, but to be competitive, we need to see this. And what they mean by that is, for example, on the match, they say rural areas are eligible to be funded at 100%, but then they say to be competitive, you need to have at least 20%. And in every other discussion about it, they talk about there being a match in these projects, so I just want to make sure you're all aware of that.
And, so they like an 80-20 match?
Yeah, at least 20, and they're really telling the urban areas, if you want to be competitive, we need to see more 20. And the other thing they're talking about in terms of economic development is that they want to see economic development that grows the national economy. They cite an example where somebody submitted a port project and said really what they're doing is trying to take away business from another port in the United States. They want to see that. They want to see something that when you frame your economic development aspect, you're growing, you're making the economy bigger, not taking it from somewhere else and making your economy bigger at the expense of another area. And then they're also very big on sustainability, multimodalism, bicycle, pedestrian, transportation, and transit. So anytime you have any aspect of the project that incorporates something like that, that's something you really need to play up because that has essentially, I mean, they're saying that road projects are eligible, many of the road projects are good projects, but the purpose of this program is sustainability, improving intermodal transportation, And on the freight side, they were looking at seaports and freight rail a lot over multiple states. And so and that's just something that they're looking at. So I think any time you can frame your project in that standpoint, it's really going to help you out.
So are you saying that they're weighing economic development higher than safety, probably? Like intersections are here would be safety?
They talk about a lot about safety. I mean, I think anytime you can bring up a point about safety, it's going to help you. But the emphasis of the program is overall economic development, right, sustainability.
Are our engineers hearing that?
Yes, we are. And one of the things I'd like to bring up is that there's a pot out there of $75 million for planning. And you may want to consider that for some of these projects, get them in the planning process so that hopefully sometime in the next 18 months to 24 months when a new transportation bill comes out, that you would have a project ready to go to. So there's $75 million out there. 35 of it is for infrastructures. 40 of it is through HUD. It allows you to do some other things with that. I kind of look at maybe a corridor-wise plan. It would really help you look at, if you wanted to look at 76 and Branson and the Foresight, it would allow you to look at that whole corridor and analyze that too. So we would pick up the T, the Lakeshore Drives, and other things along that corridor.
In that grant program, you don't just have to look at transportation. You can look at how you want to zone along there, what yes. kind of economic development you want along that corridor, how you would promote water quality, preserve water quality. I mean, everything can be covered in that because the $40 million is from HUD, and they're interested, HUD and USDOT, they're going to take that grant and they're going to say, okay, well, this is about, you know, 50% transportation, 50% of stuff, we'll give them half and half, or they're just going to treat it as one pot of money, but they're going to look at all types of issues with it. And that's one of the things they want to look at, too, is that you're not just focused on transportation, but you're taking a comprehensive look at all the issues on a corridor beyond transportation.
So it gives you an option there for those things if you really want to look at those. And I think you've got quite a few corridors that, you know, maybe an opportunity to look at some of these and say, hey, this is what we really need to be ready for the next step when it does come, because there will be other steps. And by getting that, having that ready to go, you're one step closer to getting something. So
I'm already seeing draft legislation referring to Tiger 3.
So this is a good opportunity to one of those that may be that's not your top choice, but some of those corridors that you really want to focus on and say, hey, we want to have that ready. So when something does come down, that you've got that opportunity. And they're a lot easier to fill and not as going to be as probably as competitive as what you see with the Tiger 2.
We discussed that during our first meeting on the overall plan. Frank, I think we should, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, that makes sense. Vice Chairman Roberts, the mayor's got an angry mob coming in, wants me over there for a meeting, so I got to run.
You're in.
What?
Okay.
Sorry,
so if I understood you correct, Frank, to me a comprehensive or master plan is exactly that, and it talks about
right.
you know, where sewer's going in the future, intermodal transportation. It talks about a lot of different economic development. But were you saying, or did I understand you incorrectly, for what your name again, sir?
Tom Wright.
Tom. In this grant that's available, is that just for economic development and transportation issues, or is it truly a comprehensive or master plan?
It's a comprehensive master plan.
Okay.
Because HUD's dealing with just the that's what they deal with, is more the comprehensive planning side of things. So they have this partnership with the USDOT to provide Tiger planning funds to do planning work that encompasses both. Mm-hmm. And so it may be a transportation plan that has a comprehensive interest on the side. So if you're looking at a corridor, you're looking at all aspects of the corridor, for example.
Right.
But it may be more of a comprehensive plan side that won't have any transportation specific dollars, and it'll just be a general mm-hmm. plan essentially.
Let me read right out of the Code of Federal Register on that. What it says is that HUD is authorized to use $40 million for community challenge planning grants to foster reform and reduce barriers to achieve affordable, economically vital, and sustainable communities. So that doesn't, I mean, transportation is a part of that, but there's a lot more that it encompasses than just transportation.
No matter what we do here, and recommend the commission, if we don't have an overall plan, at some point in time, we'll have a problem. So We need to address that. I had one other question for you. From the state of Missouri standpoint, on the expansion of the high road, where are you at on that?
One of the high priorities that we had was addressing traffic flow between Branson West and Branson, and that extension of the high road to 376 would be one way to sort of find another route for the piece from the high road, existing high road to Branson, taking the traffic on from there. Beyond that, we really haven't looked at anything as it being advised me or anything like that. We have the right of way, but that's all we have at this point. And then with that piece from the existing end of the high road into 376, probably the next priority would be something on that corridor further to the west. Like, I think there's a Stone County's looking at a piece to reroute just west of the high road, the Indian Point intersection, and the piece through on the west. So that's just kind of really
intersection.
Yeah, I'll look at that intersection too.
But the state has no plans now on expansion on or widening of 160 or 76 East, right? Is that correct?
We're working with Forsyth. They've hired an engineer to look at the piece through the city of Forsyth. Okay. And we've done one small piece of that at Poy Boulevard. We've talked to them about Cedar Street and 160, but at this point, the city's, that project can end up being more expensive.
And why highway?
Yeah, White Highway's come up as well. So we're looking at little pieces of that.
See, I visualize at some point in time the high road extending right through F, come around and around E-76. We've got a real traffic problem. Our workforce in the city of Branson coming in from the Forsyth area, yeah. And that needs to be addressed. Right?
Well, I think the idea, when we talked about me changing the intersection there at F-160, it's part of the thinking where we're starting to realize that maybe the quarter that we've known as 160 is not functionally what the quarter really is. It's really 160F.
Right.
So yeah. We're starting to get that.
Okay.
I guess we, in the discussions at the prioritization meetings, too, it was pretty obvious to me on some of these things, like this extension of the high road, we needed Stone County's support on some of these other projects, and they were winding up functionally getting nothing out of this prioritization. So that little section between the end of the high road and 265, that big S curve and all that, that backs up on a daily basis. It's kind of the F highway thing of Stone County. And so they said, look, we'll vote for some of your stuff here if you'll help us get this straightened out. Silver Dollar City owned that adjacent property. They said, we'll give you the right of way to straighten that S curve out if you guys will make some headway on getting it into the priorities of the road. And so that was kind of a trade on the F highway business. Now, the other thing was, and I think Representative Wallace worked on this pretty hard, but he was asking for a comprehensive, the whole thing. And there just was no, when that got, the dollars got so big that everybody just disregarded the whole thing. Or if we go to these intersections and do an intersection and these critical things, we get the thing, connect the dots, it's so much easier. And so these kinds of situations, I'm just a big proponent in the thing that we do the $1 million bites instead of the $34 million bites. And then on a couple of these things, we just had to trade to get enough votes to get some of these other things into the priorities. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of how that all evolved at the time. That was last spring, I guess.
Yeah.
And that was our overall plan, though, and kind of spoke into this outer wheel, if you will, was kind of my vision of it. But we have to get started somewhere. State of Arkansas is doing the connecting dot that mm-hmm. you're talking about right now. Did a good job with it.
Yes, they are. We've had really good luck with that here. I mean, if you actually look at what Tane County has leveraged for federal and state money, we've far outpaced a lot of our contemporaries in rural counties. So I'm thinking that connect the dots logic has helped us quite a bit. And I think that F Highway 160 and then these pieces to 76, eventually when you get the Seven Falls Hill, it's all that's left. I mean, the bridge section has got storage lanes, the T Highway intersection's improved, and there's just a piece in there. I think we can approach that a little easier. But I also believe it's going to be realistic. We're going to have to come up with some money, too. This isn't just going to be us with our hand out.
the example I hold with us with our handout was Highway 13. When we started in Highway 65 improvements, Highway 13 was ahead of us on the matrix. But Stone County just steadfastly refused to come up with any partnering. And now Stone County, and 13 is still not done, and 65 is four lanes from 44 to the Arkansas border. So, and that was really
Buffalo to the Arkansas border.
Buffalo to the Arkansas border. And that was a relatively small amount of local match to the hundreds of millions of dollars of improvements that were leveraged with that. And I think we can do the same thing with 76, 160, F, and all that. We just have to get these little bites to make it doable.
Yeah, we get our money, or the Missouri Highways Commission adopted a funding distribution formula to the different MoDOT districts, and they have pots of funding within that. And what they do is they fund what we call take care of the system first, and those are funds to take care of bridges and keep payments smooth. The revenue has declined to the point that once they fund that, we essentially don't have anything left for capacity improvements. We have a little bit for safety improvements that equates to about $1 million a year. And actually, probably less than that, maybe 800,000, which we'll deal with an intersection improvement, a couple turnings or something like that. And that leaves our statewide cost share program, which is $30 million a year, left as the only mechanism to do any kind of large scale regional improvement that's looking specifically at capacity or economic development. And that funding has been used up through 2014. And there's another round of applications going in that's probably going to use up all the 2015 money. So the money for it's getting competitive in that cost share program too. So unless we have something special come along like a Tiger or another stimulus bill or something like that, we're sort of stuck in what we can do right now. We're getting ready to slow down the capacity improvements.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be planning, because if something happens with funding, it's important to have something together. And that's why Tenecumwe Bridge got funded with stimulus money, because when the money came down, there were certain, it's almost like a puzzle piece, and that bridge fit right where we needed it to fill in the puzzle piece. So, and the county had, and Grants and Hollister had applied for cost share money, so it was moving forward, and the design was happening on it, so it was fitting the time frame we needed to. So it makes you available for the opportunity arises.
Do we need to make a motion for Frank, or recommend permission to pursue the planning?
I would entertain that.
I'll make that motion to pursue that.
That we recommend to the commission that they seek this 75A.
Right.
I'll
second it.
Motion's been made and seconded that we recommend that the commission seek that 75 million. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign.
Was there a part in here for discussion?
No.
Okay, guess I missed that part. Okay. The only discussion I got is, I really support the comprehensive plan idea. And if we do this, are we just asking for transportation planning money, or are we asking the county to go forward with a corridor, a look at the corridor comprehensively?
I think the overall. That's the way I understood it, that money was available for that overall comprehensive plan.
That's the way I understood it.
So I'd like that motion to reflect that this is not just a request for transportation planning money.
It's a true comprehensive plan.
It's a comprehensive look at these
corridors. I didn't think that it was any other way, but
I didn't.
Okay, well, as long as that's clear, because
everybody else
there'll be some corridors that,
if that
they'll see that that's. Yeah.
If that needs to be included in that motion, I'll also move that. But that's the way I understand it, Rick.
Does the commission understand?
Wouldn't hurt to have something in the motion. At some
overall comprehensive plan.
So that somebody then, I think what Rick's saying, would get messed up.
Transportation is a key.
It's a tab in this plan, but there's other tabs. This economic development, infrastructure, all this other stuff.
So what we're really asking for, I guess right now, is for clarification that this is a true master plan, comprehensive plan that looks at a traditional.
That's what we're requesting the commission to go forward and attract the money for.
I revise my motion to reflect that. That needs to be the case. All the right. Overall transportation plan.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded that we recommend to the commission that they look at this 75 million as a comprehensive plan for the county.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I think that needs to be done without in haste, as soon as possible.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carried.
Frank, I have one question. I'm seeing here we got 27% of our bridges are structurally unsafe.
This information I sent you last week?
Yeah, there's some to your...
Well, if they were unsafe, they'd be closed.
Well, that's what I'm sorry. Structurally deficient.
Structurally
I consider
deficient.
That unsafe, so I guess.
Frank, can you describe, or anybody else in the room could describe better than me, what structurally deficient means versus...
I'm a former MoDOT. I retired from MoDOT.
All right, here
back
we go.
20 and a half years and did bridge inspections. That can mean a lot of things. It can mean that it's not wide enough, it doesn't have shoulders on it. It just doesn't meet today's traffic demand. You can have some minor problems with it, put it in that classification. So it covers a whole lot. So probably the Coon Creek down there, that probably could be. Because it's just not wide enough to handle the traffic of today. So they put them in that classification. So they're identifying those bridges far in advance so you can do something with them.
But we've got functionally obsolete on 36% of them, 27% structurally deficient, and then we're going to say that 60% of the bridges in the county are in need of rehabilitation or replacement. So I'm reading into unsafe, so I want to clarify that.
We get our bridges inspected biannually by MoDOT, and we get a report. A lot of the information, I feel confident that all of our bridges are have the ability to carry traffic on them or they'd be closed. I think once they reach a number 2 out of 10, they're seriously looked at for closure. Okay, so they do close out of 2. A lot of the things on our reports are things like the... there's been a buildup of debris underneath the bridge that needs to be cleaned up. There's some erosion or scouring at the supports. Without having the bridge report in front of me, I could get more descriptive by having that report, but what was stated from the back of the room is pretty much.
Any time that there's any potential problems with that bridge heading, the state will make a recommendation that it be closed.
Okay. If the rating is 3 or 4, it's deficient, but it's not unsafe. The bridge can remain open. There may be a weight restriction on it or something. And the thing about bridges is that sometimes there'll be a 3 for decades.
Yeah.
You know? And in some cases, you'll have one that is a 5 or 6, which isn't uncommon.
What would you have considered the Branson Bridge, Lake Tencoma Bridge? Would that be structurally deficient?
Yes, it was. And it was either a 3 or 4, and so we're doing repairs.
It actually is a 4, and it's been a 4 for 27 years.
So. I've been running across with 63 of them. So.
Okay, well. So anyway, but it is a 4, and it's on the, it would take one more element, I think, one small element to make it a 3. But that's what got it.
The point I'm trying to make here, Frank, is that with me sitting on this commission trying to make a decision for this money to
sure.
If we got a bridge getting ready to fall in, whether it's in Pro Tem or wherever it's at, it needs to be repaired. Before we look at something else.
I will look at our bridge list for something like that. I
overread into this, I guess, according to
I don't recollect anything right now that's glaring that says, and also in regards to the Tencoma Bridge, the superstructure of that bridge is in relatively good condition. It's the deck that's in poor condition, so if any portion of a bridge rates lower, that makes the entire bridge rate at the lower rating, so... The superstructure of that is very sound. It's the decking that's in poor condition.
A lot of times you find the deck needs to be replaced, but the rest of it's fine.
Right.
Do you guys know how much money the county gets bridge money? And I'm a little, because I'm not a county guy, I'm a little unclear about this, but you can save it up over a period of years. Then they went and did the federal highway thing and wiped it off for a little bit, and everybody kind of raised fiends, or it was gone for 3 months and it's mm-hmm. back. And I don't know what your pool of money is there.
This is the BRO?
Yeah.
think ours is gone until 2014.
Yeah, you're about, they're about okay, seven, so 6, 7 years out. Yeah.
Okay, you
coming out of
the advance money. There's no bridge money there, apparently that's already used. The county does have some access to special money that none of the other political subdivisions would have for dedicating for bridges.
Danny, how are we doing with the road down here on with Corps of Engineer on Big Creek?
We have a meeting, a call-in for a meeting with the Corps, and that discussion will definitely be brought up in K Highway. Is going to be brought up in that, plus other lake access properties that they've already agreed to. But that'll all be brought up in this meeting. We have contacted them probably a month or 6 weeks ago, that we've not had a meeting with all. It's tough to get all their group together when they all come up. There's something accomplished. When there's just one comes up, it kind of gets passed down the chain of command. So that's where we're at with that. Slough Hollow is where you're talking about. And we actually, that comes through Arkansas Fish and Game payments to the Corps to be transferred to Taney County. So that's probably where they're waiting to see where it's at before it makes its loop over to us. So it's a definite problem and needs to be addressed. But they're supposed to address it. In all their meetings, they bring up and say that they will address it. So
you know, with them raising the lake level 5 feet, all it takes is a little 3-inch rain to get Slough Hollow out of commission again, and we've got school buses that's getting ready to run over that again.
Yeah. We understand that. Starts. And K Highway is the same project. They already have the grant money on K Highway for that improvement across so that boat dock and those residents can have access, but they won't release it to us. I think it's they're trying to figure out how they can let the county do the work, and that way we can accomplish that much more with $390,000.
Okay.
And that $390,000 to be applied to the paving of their old boat facility down there, plus the 14-foot buildup that we're going to put across there. Hopefully, when they come and meet with us, we get all that worked out and they have answers to the question.
Do we have any land easements that we need to get on that situation?
It's not anybody but the Corps.
Just the Corps.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
They've already done the survey work and everything. I was down there when they did all the survey work and everything, met with their surveyors. So,
how much does Slough Hollow have to be built up to?
It'll be a substantial build-up. It'll be probably, this is just a guess, but I'm guessing 10 feet.
That much?
Yeah, in locations through there.
Still be cheaper than trying to move it, I guess.
Well, I think it gets 6 foot under over the road now, doesn't it, Frank? According to measurements, so we get about 6 foot over, and it's quite a distance is the problem. Once you turn off that road to cross the bridge and turn down that road, then it's, I'm not sure,
a quarter of a mile or so.
It's every bit of that, I guess, wouldn't it be?
Now, that also includes a new bridge, then, brought up to the same level?
I don't think there's a bridge needed there.
We haven't had that discussion on the bridge. I'd say that it'll be big box culverts, if anything, that come off of those two, the hollers that come in there. So
okay.
That's mainly a core business that they'll come up and try to. Like I said, Arkansas Fish and Game is supposed to be paying them for that, and so that's where that ball really is. It's in their court.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else?
I thought that the purpose of today's meeting was to try and, because we're on a time pinch, to try and identify the projects we do want to move forward for Tiger 2, if any. And is that a goal of today to move forward, is to identify and move forward and see if we can get to do a preliminary grant application?
Is that the consensus of the board?
Because the deadline is for preliminary.
If they move back, what,
26, you have another meeting before then.
Okay. I thought we'd done that, Frank.
Yeah,
we excluded concrete.
So 2T and 76.
I kind of thought we had two.
Yeah.
So we're leaving all of these on the list and we're adding T intersection and excluding concrete.
We're eliminating concrete. I'm sorry. We're trading out concrete for T highway.
Okay.
If T highway happens.
And then do we make contact with some engineering firms to see?
The commission will be with that, Frank. You may accept that. The commission will take the recommendations and we'll have a separate meeting about
okay.
working with the engineers.
Okay.
That's really not their concern.
Okay.
I have one question. I apologize if this was covered when I wasn't here, but the district recommending forward or the whatever one is 1 through 7 of the district, is that what those are? Okay, district recommending forward, is there going to be a time later? I don't know that there is Tiger 2 stuff, it's just general discussion. Is that going to happen?
Let me chime in. That was really on the hope of getting things accomplished after the Tiger 2 was to talk about how you guys want to move forward with getting those projects to the committee so we can Frank and his team can recommend it, can do a point system on. So really that's the next logical step. We've got the Tiger 2 direction, I believe, but we've got to start working on the 7 projects per district now. So and you got the hope was you guys talk about how you want to get that information. Do we have meetings in those districts? Does Frank provide you what he knows? That's what really a discussion really is the next thing.
Well, I think Frank fairly well prioritized everything right here with his recommendations, especially in my district. As what I've looked over there, all those needs are there. And so we'll go from that point there and add another 2 or 3 and you come up to 7. Frank, that's the way I understood it.
Right.
And bring it before the board as a recommendation to the commission.
And I guess my question then is that two future meetings out, I'll assemble that if I just know when we're going to have to need it to be here. And is that something that we write a narrative paragraph on each of the ones, or how do we envision that? Because I'm willing to start work on it. I just don't know what to do.
A little bit quick on the 22nd, so if we look at August, I think that the first meeting in August.
We go to the August calendar and see what we got here.
It's the 24th. I think that we got our 7 priorities or our 5 priorities in our districts to bring before the commission. I think that would be the date that we need to start it at.
And that was one question. We set up every other week for a while to get this thing started. Do we want to continue? And then the thought was, and this is something as a board you guys need to discuss, is do you want to go once a month after that? Do you want to go for a couple more 2 weeks to get this momentum going and then go to every month? That the concept was, as a commission, we kind of talked about, we thought 2 or 3 every other week means to kind of get the momentum started then going to once a month. But that's really up to you guys. If Tuesday's the best day, if it's not the best day, you guys can choose another day. For us, the commission, Mondays are really bad for us, and Wednesdays are pretty rough on us, too. That's why we chose the Tuesday or Thursday. But that's something that you guys can decide as a board, and we'll adapt to that.
Brian, what's your priorities? Meeting days.
It really doesn't matter too much, other than I have a problem about 4 months out of the year. I'm driving trucks over the road, and I'm not really available for about
Monday's
4 months.
Better or Friday's better or what's
it really doesn't matter. I'm open to anything.
Okay. Charles?
I don't have a problem with any time.
Jim?
Thursdays are out for me. Basically Tuesdays probably works better. Wednesdays, Thursdays and Fridays on other
Monday after like 3 o'clock would work with the commission too. I think Frank's session goes from 1 to 2:30 a lot of times. So
Mondays look better for me.
Because I end up at 2:30 or 3, I think the commission could work with
that. Tuesdays is starting of the week for me to be out traveling. But that's just me. Monday afternoon would be a whole lot better for me than Tuesday mornings. But now that's just my deal. Rick, what's
Thursdays are bad. The Monday afternoon thing can work fine with me. Yeah. Tuesdays can work fine with me.
The 2 o'clock Monday's going to work good.
And as long as it's not too late on Monday. I mean, 3 o'clock would work fine for me. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, I'd be fine.
Is that all right with the commission at 3 o'clock on Monday?
2 or 3. I mean, we're scheduled until 2 o'clock on every Monday, and sometimes we've been known to go a little long. So 2:30 would be better. Maybe 2:30 to 4 would be probably, if you want to do an hour and a half, or 3 o'clock, that, just knowing our schedule for the commission.
I think I received an email from, is it Vicki?
Nikki. She
is that we've already set up a Tuesday.
They did.
Every
they,
month
that's all. That was all subject to change based off what you guys, once the board got together. We tried to schedule them so we could have them scheduled. But if you guys want to revise it, we can revise it. That's not a deal whatsoever.
For me, Monday would work great.
3 o'clock Monday works fine for me.
Okay, change them to 3 o'clock Monday.
Okay. Do you want, when the next one you want to do?
Let's do it on August the.
Do it away at 30 days?
Yes.
I guess not 30 days. July 22nd is the next one, but we can revise that if you wanted to.
Now let's go ahead and keep that one.
Just so the board knows, I'll be in Salt Lake City that week. David will be gone that week.
The 26th of July is a Monday. We have time available. If you want to move it from the 22nd to the 26th.
Is that all right?
Me.
Okay.
The 26th.
Okay. What time?
Frank Miller, does that work with your schedule?
I'll check and see that. I think.
Is that 2 o'clock?
3 o'clock. 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. And then you guys, then you want to go from there 30 days out, which would be the, basically the fourth Monday. Thursday?
Fourth Monday.
I'm sorry, the fourth Monday?
Yeah.
Which would be the 23rd then?
Yep.
Of August.
August.
Now, the only disadvantage for the 23rd for us, I'll just tell you now, this room is reserved for the tax sale, so we can't use this room, but we'll find a place on August 23rd.
Okay.
Can Nikki send emails out to that?
She will send them all out, revise all those emails, and then the guys who don't use email will make sure we mail you stuff.
Then the fourth Monday from there out.
And the fourth Monday from there out, okay?
Okay. And that the final Tigers reapplications are due on August 23rd.
Okay.
Frank, do we have an aerial overlay drawing of how the east-west corridor would lay out?
We do. I could not find it. Okay. The construction move, it got moved around.
We got a computer-sized copy of that.
I can, yes, I'll forward it by computer.
And it, would it be a possibility of each one of the districts having a little larger layout of the county road situation?
We can do that.
I'd like to have roads in there because in my... Right. Deal here. I've got an area, but I don't know what roads it encompasses and what roads it does not encompass. So if we can come back and put roads in there.
I'm working with GIS.
All you can give is work through the details. And we can have that for you next time, too.
And I guess I would add, as long as we're doing the roads, and I know the GIS, they touch it and they can have a color. The ones that we're already prioritizing and working on, so when we look at this, we know we've already addressed this intersection. And
that's correct.
This is already in our priorities and all that, so we can see where we're at. Right?
Yes. Bob Chance.
Yes, I've been listening with great interest, and I didn't know I just wanted to jump in. But there's two projects, 4 and 5, which seem to be on here, and... It says needed for the east-west corridor. Now, the gentleman from MoDOT brought up a good point, saying that this money is needed for economic development. Well, if you put in the east-west corridor, you're going to knock out about 70 businesses from J Highway to Lakeshore Drive. I drove it about a year ago, wrote every name on a Sunday morning, put the phone numbers, and there's a lot of businesses that it's not going to matter, like the quarry, the cemetery. It doesn't matter what kind of road it is. They'll be used. There's a lot of them are going to go down the tube. for instance, the storage facility, Sunfest. Why would anybody go to Sunfest if you've got an east-west corridor and then Hollister, you've got Harder House, Country Mart? I go to those stores, but I live on T Highway. I love Sunfest. And I think it's going to hurt. You've got people who are in the auto repair business. You've got the two service stations on Mount Branson. It's going to knock the crapooties out of those businesses. And if using what you had said, sir, about economic development, what are we going to do for these people who are going to be hurt? I mean, a lot of them are going to just fold up, close, and times are hard now. We have a cigarette shop. I don't smoke, but why put the lady out of business if we're going to knock off all these cars going in another direction? And I love Rick, and anything for Hollister, it's great for Hollister, it's great for somebody else, but we're not here to look to build houses in a certain part of the county or to get business for Hollister. What about the people in that short distance in the little area, T Highway, whatever? It's going to hurt us. So I hope you would think about the east-west corridor. It's going to hurt a lot of people. I don't have the list today, but I'll try to get it at the next meeting. It's in another briefcase somewhere. And you're going to hurt a lot of people.
Okay. So thank you. Anything else that needs to be brought up for this group? Because we're at 9:30.
What else do you guys need for us to have more information prepared for you next time you're here? We'll have maps. We'll have anything you ask for so we can get this. You guys can be having it prepared today.
Partners in Progress has got an excellent way of displaying the maps. I would like to see us do this or offer the same thing because it is very easily look at those maps from anywhere in the room.
I think someone mentioned the larger district maps. We'll make sure we have them on board so you guys can see each district. You know, we've always got the big board, too. So we can broadcast this meeting. We'll make sure that we broadcast all the meetings because I know a lot of people were texting me to make sure. And then, but if you need something else before the next meeting, which is the 22nd.
I'm sorry.
Does everybody here do email? Is that a good way to get everything?
I don't.
There's two of them.
Okay.
The 22nd, is that the next meeting we have?
Actually, it's the 26th, isn't it?
Yes.
If you have any questions at all or need some information,
give me a call. So, if you need something on the 26th, let the commission know. We'll make sure we have it. Let Frank Preston know, just so you guys can maximize your time here.
Do we need to run that directly through to you, Frank, or Nikki?
Anything.
Go to Frank because we're going to talk about who's going to own some of the meeting. I'm taking minutes. So is Nikki upstairs because we didn't coordinate that right now. But we'll make sure that we've got. Right now, go through Frank Preston. And Chuck and Danny, is that all right? I mean, our girls are pretty booked right now with the activity, so I'm not saying they're not. But.
That's fine with me. First of all, I think that the direction is through Frank, but there's going to be questions for the commission on lots of things. So I don't know that to contact people with Nikki.
Let's just go through Nikki. You're right. And Nikki can coordinate with Frank's office.
That's the way I think that we better go.
That, because she's going to be she's managing the master calendar anyway of the rooms and all that, so. I think you're right, Danny.
Meeting places and all that, she takes care of all that. So, I mean, it's
what about minutes to the meetings?
Well, we'll talk about that afterwards. We got that covered today, so you'll have it for next meeting. But going forward, we'll have to have a little bit more of a structure of that. Is it the clerk's responsibility? Is it the county? Is it the commission? Is it the road and bridge? As a commission, we just need to talk about how we're going to do that.
All right, Miller, do you have anything to input?
No.
Frank Preston?
No, thank you, sir.
Anybody on the board? Commission?
Good meeting.
Yep, appreciate it.
I'll move.
Motion made by Jim, second by Charlie. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you for joining us. Audience?
Brian? I didn't recognize you.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
How's your dad doing?
Just fine. He's all down. I haven't called for about 3 years now, which I think
we went to Washington, D.C. for the expedition all the way out there. We just sat there and looked out the window.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm facing. Oh, did you? Yeah, I wasn't here long enough. Good to see you. Thank you. Thanks.
You bet you believe me.
Good to see you.
I'll get you that email. I'm actually on vacation.
Oh, wow.
But Joe's on vacation, too, and he said, you're going?
Did you come to vacation in the Branson area?
No, we were actually going to be camping in Powell. And
And you're the one that does not do emails?
We have a plan. If you work with Sedona County, we could actually do something together if they felt like we had a plan.
That's all right.
You met, right?
Morning. So you got some. Okay, I should be back by 10 this week. I'm not going to know you.
Von Holtzman. Okay.
Okay.
That's for sure. Okay. I know where the Hybrid Extension is.
Newer engineer. Newer.
Is that Paul Green Fireworks?
Where's that somewhere? Anyway, pleasure seeing you. Thank you for coming.
Things okay?
All going pretty well. We're getting ready to shoot some balls.
Pleasure meeting you.